is Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice. And now your host, the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith.
I am Jeff Smith. There we go. I am Jeff Smith, the Rogue announcer, and this is Rogue Talk for February 12th, 2020. I'm already tongue-tied, and we just are getting started. Got a great show planned for you today. Can't wait to get to it. There's a ton of stuff in the news. I have a co-host today, and I'll introduce her in a second, but we were talking before the show started. The way the news is coming right now, it's like drinking from a fire hose. I mean, it's coming from all directions, and a lot of it has to do with just with lawmaking. We've got the federal government. I mean, the president alone, I don't even know what he's up to now. I know it's over 50 executive actions or orders in just 3 weeks. So you got all of that to try and figure out and deal with. But then here in Oregon, we've got the state's got bill after bill, one that's bugging me, and I sent some letters to some of the representatives to let them know how I wanted them to vote and how I felt. Was, of course, they're going after guns again, and in this particular bill, they want to take away some of the rights. Just to kind of briefly, if the state police don't deal with your request to buy a gun, which is a stupid thing to begin with. You have a Second Amendment right to that. You shouldn't have to request it. But nonetheless, I get some of the protections. I'm okay with that. But if the state police don't deal with that within a 3-day period, the firearm dealer has the option of releasing that weapon to you. The system has red flags built in, so that if you're a felon and it kicks out that you're a felon, the state police don't even have to touch it. You can't buy the gun. But if there's no red flags and the state police sit on it for more than 3 days, the FFL can release that weapon. Now, a lot of them don't. In fact, the one that I use, I don't believe they do. In fact, when I bought a handgun from them, they made me wait until the approval came back, and it was a little over a week, so it wasn't, you know, in this case, wasn't the end of the world. I wasn't a battered wife that needed to protect myself from my estranged husband or something, so I was okay with waiting. But they want to get rid of that altogether, and so if the state police want to sit on your application forever, you will never get your weapon. And again, some of you may cheer that, but as a pretty staunch supporter of the Second Amendment, I don't. So there's all kinds of things going on. Of course, we know a bunch of drugs now have been decriminalized, and I think along with that, I was told today also that along with the drugs being decriminalized, so was prostitution. That's just wonderful, and I say that with loads of sarcasm, because I think that's a really, really bad idea. But that's the way things go here in Oregon, and that's where we're at. So I'm not going to even try to dig into all of these news stories today. I've got a subject I want to get into. We're going to talk about cancel culture, and I'll tell you why I decided to pick that, and we're going to dig into some of the issues related to that and see what what's real and what's perceived. So let me introduce my guest co-host. She's been on the show a couple of times. She is the author of The Heart of the Runaway. She is the author of a new book that's coming out soon, so we're going to let her tell us about that. And she's also the owner of her own coffee shop in Seward, Alaska, 13 Ravens Coffee. And of course, that means sitting here with me is Liberty Miller. Liberty, welcome back to Rogue Talk.
Thank you for having me. It's good to be back.
Yeah, I'm happy to have you here. I heard you were in town, and I promoted on Facebook my super secret co-host coming in. So I don't know if I hid that as well as I probably could, but so it's great to have you here. So catch us up. I think last time we talked, the coffee shop was up up and going, or at least it was in the works. I didn't go back and listen, but I remember you were here around New Year's of last year. And so tell us how the coffee shop's going, and then tell us about the new book.
The shop is going good. Actually, this month is the 2-year anniversary of opening my shop. So that's pretty exciting.
Oh, so now I remember, because you were closing it in the winter and you were here.
Yes.
So it was closed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. Now it's coming back to me. But now you don't close it in the winter.
Correct. Someone is running it for me while I'm out of state.
That's
the dream, right?
That's nice. That's nice. But are you making any money? That's okay. As long as it's sustaining itself,
mm-hmm.
you get a little break.
Yeah.
You get to come see mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
So anyhow, go ahead. Tell us, how's the shop doing, and what kind of changes have you made? How have you expanded what you do there at the shop?
Yeah, it's going really well. When the pandemic first started, obviously things were a little scary last spring. But you know, the community support that I have from Seward, it was just humbling. I mean, almost bringing me to tears every day. People were losing their jobs and things were terrifying, and still they were coming in every day to get a cup of coffee. And it was really amazing to see how much people in my town love my shop.
Yeah, now, you and I were talking the other day, and you had mentioned that a big part of the economy in Seward is the cruise ships.
Yes.
And so tell us how that works, and tell us how it's affected other businesses in Seward,
mm-hmm.
because you've kind of hung in there, one because you stayed open for the winter,
mm-hmm.
which gave people another option, people that live there.
Right.
But tell us how the COVID kind of killed the cruise business, at least for the time being, how that affected you, not only you, but also the other shops in Seward.
Sure. Yeah, it was an interesting summer. We do rely pretty heavily on the cruise ships during the summer. And, you know, we'll get several of the big cruise ships a day. So thousands and thousands of people literally just dropped off on the shores of Seward. So it's great for revenue, obviously, but it's overwhelming. It's very exhausting. Summers are busy. And this past summer, we didn't get cruise ships, which was good and bad. You know, bad because we didn't have all of that extra money coming in, but also good because we weren't overwhelmed by tourists. And so we actually kind of got to take our town back and enjoy where we live. I went camping this past summer in the middle of June, which has never happened ever. And we were the only ones in the campground. So that's so rare. I mean, the local time to play in Alaska is during the winter, which is my favorite time of year. But so it was a big hit to not get the cruise ships. And we just found out that we're not getting them again this summer. So one summer without them was tough, but okay. Two summers without cruise ships, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Now, does the state of Alaska, do they have, I know we've had like the federal government programs, the PPP loans, mm-hmm. and whatever. Does Alaska have any programs that helped you with that?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. There was a lot of small business loans and grants that you could apply for. So,
well, I wish Seward was just a little closer to here. It'd be easier for me to just make a jaunt over, but that's not exactly a weekend jaunt from here. But
right.
But one of these days, one of these days. So let's move quickly to your book that you and I hadn't talked about. I knew that it was in the offing. We mm-hmm. had talked about it previously, but I didn't know you were close to having it ready to publish.
Yeah, I just kind of dropped that little bit of information to you a few minutes ago.
So tell us what's it about, and approximately, I know you don't have all the firm dates yet, approximately when can we expect to see it?
It will basically be roughly a continuation of The Heart of the Runaway. So my life in the past 3 years since my first book came out. But the majority of the book will be about my work inside prisons. And some about the coffee shop and things like that, but mainly about the prison. And I'm expecting to release it end of March tentatively.
Great, great. Well, I look forward to it. You know, I mean, this is how Liberty and I became kind of fast friends, was her mom said, hey, you should have my daughter on your show. And so, of course, I had to go get the book and read the book. And I got the book after the interview, but I was able to read it on Kindle before the interview. And I'm not a reader. I listen to books. I'm all about the audiobook and podcasts. I just can't sit down and read very well. Not that I can't read. I mean, when you see this monologue I wrote out, which is very rare for me, I can read and write. I'm not the idiot that I come across on the radio, but I was hooked. I mean, you know, I said this, I think, in the interview. I was like, I had to read the whole thing, and it's no surprise. Your interview gets replayed a lot when I'm not here because it's one of my favorite ones. Part of it is just that, again, you and I just kind of became immediate friends. We FaceTime before the interview. Mm-hmm. And you and I have shared this with each other, but we just had that feeling that we were like old friends that were just picking up where we left off, and we didn't know each other from Adam.
Right.
So I'm super excited for the new book, and I'm hoping that comes soon. I was hoping it would be a tell-all, you know, maybe the Martin family tell-all book, but I'm afraid your mom won't let that happen. So I want to know all of mom's secrets. That's the real truth. No, I'm kidding. And I got in trouble for saying something like that one time, so I probably should take that back. But
too late now.
too late. We love you, Mom. We do. Great. I'm super excited. I brought you in today because I'm pretty rabid about the reason I chose this cancel culture thing to talk about. So I'm hoping you'll be a bit of a moderating force for me. You know, we share some of the same opinions on this, but you have a more worldly view than me. I'm pretty locked into things, and I don't always kind of get out of my bubble. So I'm hoping you can help with that. So we're gonna get into that.
It's an interesting show for me to participate in.
Yeah, you had a little trepidation. I'm not gonna lie. You weren't too sure, and
I don't openly share my opinion.
No, but I think in this case, as we kind of build on this, it really becomes a common sense and a logical thing and not a left-right thing. Mm-hmm. It's acted upon in a left-right way, unfortunately, but that's really not the issue. The issue is treating people equally and that kind of thing. So as I mentioned, and I'm going to give you a little break here. I wrote this out last night, so I'm not really reading it per se because I always start changing the words when I write stuff out. But I just felt impressed last night. I had a lot of thoughts on my mind, and I was like, I need to write these out. So I'm going to give this to you guys, and then we're going to go to the break, and then we'll dig into the meat and potatoes and see if we can solve all the world's problems when it comes to cancel culture. So why cancel culture? Why today? Well, this whole cancel culture thing has been happening for quite some time. It's being applied in so many different aspects of society. And so we're seeing it more and more. But it's really ramped up lately. And I hate to say this, because I don't really want to bring politics in this, but there's a reason I'm going to bring this up. Some of this is former President Trump's fault. And some of you are going, what? What are you talking about? Well, President Trump, for the last really 5 or 6 years, I mean, since he came down the escalator to announce his presidency, and he said Mexico was sending us their worst, you know, which, again, as we know with the former president, he doesn't really have a way with words. So he tries to make a point, and he makes it sound way worse than what he's meaning to say. And in that case, He started off the very first speech he gave. He kind of did it in the Trumpian way. But the thing that we noticed with Donald Trump is he's been the Teflon Don. They've thrown everything at him. Some things very legitimate. I mean, he says stupid stuff, and they've used it against him. probably rightfully so, and it never sticks. Two impeachments, and neither one's going to stick. We're pretty sure he's not going to get convicted this time, or removed. Well, they can't remove him. He's not in office. But he's always been the Teflon Don. He's always been able to, you know, because he doesn't apologize. That's one of the keys to this whole cancel culture thing. As soon as you apologize, you're done. You're wrecked. They won't. There's no forgiveness. You can't. Well, we'll get into it a little later. Sometimes there is forgiveness, but you have to be on the right side of a certain issue to get the forgiveness. So he never apologized. Well, something happened. One, he lost the election. And two, they canceled him from Twitter and Facebook. And I mean, they kicked him off of all of the social medias. And that signaled to the people that enjoy the cancel culture, that like to use it as a weapon, they're like, hey, if we just got the president, if we can get the president, we can cancel anybody. So let's kind of jump ahead to why I decided to grab a hold of this. Excuse me. Well, in the last few days, somebody that I like, I have a lot of respect for, got canceled. And so that gets back to my question, why cancel culture and why today? Well, because something happened this week that really, really ticked me off. And so I'm like, I need to cover this. And so let me tell you a quick story. When I was 8 years old, my grandmother took me and I think my brothers and sister to the movies. I don't know if my little brother went at that point. He would have been kind of young, but he might have gone. Took us to the movies. Pretty groundbreaking movie for the time. My grandma hated it, but we loved it. And of course, that movie was Star Wars. I've never been a hardcore Star Wars nerd. I can't name all these characters in all these like animated series and all this. And, you know, I can't recite all the different canon from Star Wars canon. And I mean, I didn't even know that existed until recently, but I've always stayed a huge fan, even with the latest excrement sandwich that they call the latest trilogy. And what do I mean by excrement sandwich? Just like it sounds, it was excrement in the middle of two boring, stale pieces of bread. That was the latest trilogy. It was lame and boring, excrement, because I don't want to use another word, followed by lame and boring. And I stuck with Star Wars because, you know what? They came out with a TV show that looks more like a movie called The Mandalorian. The Mandalorian took me back to being my 8-year-old self. It's the coolest, baddest thing I had seen from Star Wars in 35 years, whatever it's been. I can't count that high. I'm old. And I was hooked, and then I was punched in the gut this week because I have standards that I have to hold to, and they canceled someone for legitimate free speech. And, of course, that was Gina Carano, who played Cara Dune. And it got me riled up. It got me really upset. And wow, I've taken this first segment a lot longer than I thought I would. So let me speed up. Gina Carano and her character Cara Dune are the same person. They're independent women. They're I can't say some certain words. They're tough. They're just the kind of thing. I mean, you look up to people like this that are independent, they're tough, they stand up for themselves. She's a former MMA fighter, and she got canceled, and I'm having to skip most of the rest of my notes because we need to go to the break. But she made an IG post, Instagram post, that Disney used as the last straw, so to speak, to fire her. So when we come back from the break, we're going to get into what that was and why it was disingenuous on Disney's part. And so we will be right back.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge. With SRN News, I'm John Scott. Former President Trump's attorneys have wrapped up their arguments at his Senate impeachment trial. The trial now moving into the question and answer phase before both sides offer their closing arguments.
The former president's lawyers earlier used audio and video clips of Democrat leaders to make their case he did not seek to incite an insurrection last month. The White House says President Biden will seek to close the prison on the U.S. base at Guantanamo Bay following a review process. Press Secretary Jen Psaki says the intention of the Biden administration is to close the detention facility. Stocks drifting between small gains and losses today as the market closes in on a second straight weekly gain. The Dow gained 27 points, the NASDAQ up 69, and the S&P 500 ahead 18 points. This is SRN News.
Broadcasting to Rum River, Gold Hill, Weimer, and beyond. 94.3, The Bridge.
With SRN Sports, I'm Michael Harrington. Let's start with NBA action from Thursday. The Sixers have their four-game road winning streak snapped in Portland.
The Portland Trail Blazers rallied in the fourth quarter to grab a 118-114 win over the Philadelphia 76ers. Carmelo Anthony scored 17 of his 24 points in the final period, hitting his first six shots of the quarter, plus the go-ahead free throws with 3 seconds left in the game. Damian Lillard led the Trailblazers in scoring with 30 points, 19 of which came in the first quarter, and Enes Kanter had 14 rebounds, including 7 offensive boards. Joel Embiid led the 76ers with 35 points, while Ben Simmons added 23 points on 10 of 12 field goal shooting. I'm Jim Bernard.
Elsewhere yesterday, it was the Celtics over Toronto 120-106, Miami 101, Rockets 94, the Pacers too much for the Pistons 111-95, and Golden State got the better of Orlando 111-105, the final there. This is SRN Sports. AP Top 25 College Basketball yesterday, number 20 USC over Washington, 69-54. 24th-ranked Purdue was upset by Minnesota, 71-68. In the National Hockey League yesterday, Florida 5, Lightning 2. The Penguins over the Islanders, 4-3 in a shootout. Jets 5, Senators 1. Columbus beat the Blackhawks, 6-5. It was the Oilers 3 and Montreal nothing. Nashville over the Red Wings, 3-2. Carolina 5, Dallas 3. Anaheim got by Vegas 1-0, while the Kings stopped San Jose 6-2. It was the Flames 3 and the Canucks 1. NASCAR, Eric Almirola and Austin Dillon, the winners in last night's 150-mile qualifying races for Sunday's Daytona 500. Both drivers now have a chance to move from the second to the front row following car issues for some of the leaders. This is SRN Sports.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk, and I'm gonna confess I pulled the Rush Limbaugh move there. We have a clock here in the studio that when I get a hold of the station manager, the clock might not be working anymore because I might break it over his head. It's about 15 minutes fast, and I didn't realize that until we went to the break. So I had to rush through my monologue there, and but that's okay. So we're gonna jump into the meat of this. So poor Liberty, she's diving in with her eyes closed and has agreed to come on and discuss this here. So first of all, let's take a look at the Instagram post. What apparently was the trouble that led to her being fired by Disney. And let's see if I have this. So there was a picture that went along with the post of a Holocaust era picture. And I don't have the picture, so I'm not going to try and describe it. But Jews were beaten in the streets, not by Nazi soldiers, but by their neighbors, even by children. Because history is edited, most people today don't realize that to get to this point where Nazi soldiers could easily round up thousands of Jews, the government first made their own neighbors hate them simply for being Jews. How is that any different from hating someone for their political views? Now, everything in here is factual, including the question, but I will admit that I'm not super comfortable with people using Holocaust references to make comparisons. So before we get into what's next, Libby, I want to know from your perspective, does that bother you what she said and why? Because it bothers me in one aspect, but I don't consider it cancelable. But obviously Disney disagreed. What do you think about that?
Well, I think the whole world is going to cancel me when I admit that I've never seen Star Wars.
That's okay.
But no, I agree with you. You know, too soon. The Holocaust, it's too soon still. It's something that you should not compare anything to.
Yeah, and you can play a lot of whataboutism because... as we've seen with the 4 years of the Trump presidency, and actually even before he became president, I'm going to use terms just to differentiate. I don't mean anything by any of these because that's not what this is about. I don't want this to be political as much as I can. But the left made a lot of references, and I've got some examples we'll get to in a minute, that were Hitler references and Nazi Germany references when it related to the Trump administration or President Trump himself. And we've got a caller on here. So before we kind of move to the next step, I want to kind of get one more opinion on that statement. Hello, welcome to Rogue Talk.
Hey, this is James.
Hey, James. This is my buddy James. He, of course, did a show with me when we talked about Captain Crozier. And so did you hear or see the post that Gina Carano made where she compared the Holocaust or the hatred of the Jews in Germany to hating your neighbors for their political beliefs? Were you able to see that or hear me read that?
Yeah, I did see it, and I heard you read it. And, you know, my family heritage, my surname, Huttmacher, is actually a Jewish surname. So I've done a lot of studying on the Holocaust and different things and have some historical background in it. The first thing I'd say is this, is that I don't know if she was comparing the Holocaust to it as much as she was showing how something that seems innocuous can become a huge measure that is extremely negative and dangerous. And that's exactly what happened in Nazi Germany. It started out as what seemed innocent to the people, and then before you knew it, they were turning each other in. So, I'm like you. I hate for people to use the term, Nazi supremacist and internment camps and things like that in without the right context. So I guess you could look at her statement and look at it a couple of different ways. But historically, I mean, what she wrote is actually accurate. So it is what it is. And I think it's ridiculous that she's canceled and obviously attacked for it.
Yeah. And now I've read or I've heard recently that they've actually been wanting to fire her since November. And this was kind of, they used this as the last straw. So let's jump a little bit. We'll come back to kind of the Nazi thing, because I've got a bunch of examples of, you know, how it's kind of disingenuous what Disney's doing. But let's jump a little bit, because I heard that they wanted to fire her since November. And I have a feeling that it had to do with the idea of her not wanting to use or her not wanting to announce her pronouns. Now, Liberty and I were talking off air. She knows somebody that was basically canceled for their sexuality. So I got a feeling I know how you feel about this, Libby, but in a kind of a joking way, because Gina was being pressured to put her pronouns on her social media profiles, and she didn't want to do it because she didn't care about it. She's like, if people care about it, they're welcome to do it. In fact, her co-star puts his on his, and that's fine. But she didn't want to do it, and they pressured her, and they were really, you know, wanting her to do it. And she put, because she's in a Star Wars movie, she put Bebop Boop, which of course was a thumb in the eye of the people that were pressuring her. But again, it's not, I don't have a problem with it. She's a pretty fiery person. It didn't surprise me. What do you think about that, Libby?
Well, I mean, it's interesting because if she didn't want to do it on her social media pages, I don't feel she should have been pressured to do it on her social media pages. I mean, it's going the opposite way, right? Like, we're not supposed to pressure anyone or make anyone feel bad for their beliefs, opinions, etc. But yet when ours don't match theirs, they're making us feel bad, pressuring us to use pronouns even if we don't want to. So I don't think it was right for them to pressure her to change her social media page.
Yeah, and I would agree. And again, we can argue whether that was a good joke to make, but again, like you said, it's her page. So I'd be mm-hmm. curious, James, what you think about that.
You know, in today's day and age, obviously the pronouns have become important to some people. I agree with Libby. If it's not important to her, then there's no need to announce it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as people in general, I mean, as Christian, hey, we're supposed to love our neighbors like we love God. And at the end of the day, you know, if my neighbor tells me that they want to be called by a specific pronoun, I'll honor that. But I'm going to default to what they allow me to. And that's all she's doing, is defaulting to what she prefers. So being forced to is, like Libby said, is the exact opposite of why you would put your pronoun out there.
Yeah.
She's obviously comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the same discussion I've had with members of my family, was that my position is, if I have a personal relationship with someone, of course I'm going to show them the respect to, I'm going to address them in whatever way they want to be addressed, and I want, you know, but if I don't have a relationship with someone, I don't want to be held to standards that I either don't agree with or that I just simply don't care about. And the example that I've given in the past is, you know, I have a friend, a girl that I was around a lot when I was coaching. I didn't actually coach her, but she was a little older on some of the older teams when I was coaching. And she is now a he. I mean, in that she's transitioning, and she's kept the same name, and I'm not going to use it because I don't want to make her the point of this, but the name can be a boy or a girl name, and she thought about changing it and then kept it because she said, that's who I am. And I'm sorry, I'm saying she, and I she lives really far away, and I don't deal with her on a daily basis, so I'm assuming she goes by he now, and I would have to adjust to that, but I would be happy to do that because I have a relationship with her. And it goes the same with a business relationship. If I have a business relationship with the assistant health secretary of the Biden administration, and this biological male wants to be called female and she, then I'm happy to do that if I have that relationship. So I'm kind of on the same spot with that. So I think that's what really ticked off Lucasfilm and Disney, and they were just waiting for the excuse to fire her. But let's get into why this is so disingenuous in my eyes, and I'll get your guys' opinion on this. Quickly, I'm going to give some examples of some. These are mostly media and government people, so it doesn't quite apply. And we'll have time. We'll talk about kind of the First Amendment ramifications, where Disney's a private company. It doesn't really apply, but I think in some cases with social media canceling, it does apply. So maybe we'll get into that. But quickly, just some examples of people that haven't been canceled. In 2018, AOC, the esteemed congressperson, said the U.S. is running concentration camps on our southern border, and that is exactly what they are, concentration camps. Don Lemon in 2020, who was speaking with another CNN host, Chris Cuomo, the pseudo tough guy, and even Chris Cuomo pushed back when Don Lemon was making Hitler references related to Trump. And when Cuomo pushed back on him, he doubled down. He says, it starts with little lies. And 2020, Joe Biden. Trump is sort of like Goebbels. And for those that don't know, he was a Nazi propagandist. So again, another Hitler reference. Jim Clyburn, who was the House Majority Whip, speaking with Chris Cuomo again. How do you elect a person president? Then all of a sudden, you're going to give him the authority to be a dictator. That's what Hitler did in Germany. And there's a zillion examples of this. I could go through. I mean, I could sit here for an hour and read examples of this. But why have none of those people been canceled? I happen to think it's very political because they're on the left, and the left controls everything. They control social media. They control media. They control Hollywood. So I think that's part of it. But I, again, you guys are both here. I want your opinions. Why does that kind of stuff get, why do they get away with that? And someone like, again, now it's a private company, I understand, but why does Gina not get away with what she said? Let's start with you, James.
Well, I've got a couple of points. One is that the reason she doesn't get away with it is because it's not popular in that circle to say things or do things like she is. It goes against what people say. And I think really what we're talking about is, when we say cancel culture, is I think we all have had this experience, regardless of what side of the spectrum you are on politically, of having a discussion with somebody and you attempt to show them facts and data to prove your point, yet the facts and data have no bearing on the conversation. It's 100% emotional, and there's nothing that you can do to at least get them to agree to a disagree. It's more of attacks and fighting. Have you guys ever experienced anything like that?
That sounds like a rhetorical question to me.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm really intrigued by this phenomenon, because it seems like over, you know, maybe the last 10 years or so, it's become more and more prevalent, especially with the proliferation of social media. And so doing a little studying and digging, I found on YouTube, of all places, an amazing video of a guy named Yuri Bezmenov. Now, I don't know if you remember Yuri, but during the 1984 Olympics, Yuri came from Russia. He was a member of the KGB, and he actually left Russia and came to the United States. He escaped Russia. And in this video, there's a couple videos. So if you go look at Yuri Bezmenov on YouTube, you'll find some that are extremely long. There's about a 15-minute clip. And I'm just going to, if I have time, I'll summarize what he said, because I think it's very prophetic as to what we see today in our culture. The guy that's interviewing him is basically talking about what the KGB's role was when it came to the United States and democracy. And here are some of the things that he said. He said, first of all, contrary to what Americans like to think, you guys idolize like James Bond and espionage, the KGB only spends about 15% of its time, money, and manpower on espionage, like you see espionage. 85% of the time, money, and manpower is put into what he called ideological subversion. It's an active measure, and it's the basis of and process of overtly, right in front of your eyes, changing the perception of reality with every American to such an extent that they can't even defend it.
So essentially a form of gaslighting.
Yeah, absolutely. And so he goes on to talk about how the KGB, that was their goal back in the 80s, was to create this ideological subversion. And not only in the United States, but other, if you remember, they were going through several countries. Obviously, this was back in 84, they were still the USSR, and they had taken over Czechoslovakia and several countries in Eastern Europe, but also in South America and so forth. And he basically said that was their first goal, was to create this ideological subversion to where basically facts and defending them, they have no bearing. And he said the next thing that they did, they had a four-step process, and I'll just tell you about the first step. They called it demoralization. And he said the process takes about 15 to 30 years when they go into a country to do this demoralization. And basically their goal is to educate one generation of students on the benefits of Marxist socialism. And then in turn, that generation will then teach two generations. And he used the example of people from the 60s or the baby boomers when they taught those individuals. And if you remember, the last large uprising about socialistic ideologies was in the late 60s, early 70s. They basically taught these people. They taught other generations, and then they occupied politics, academia, et cetera, and they were in a position of power, and they've actually influenced multiple generations. And we wonder why, you know, at today's day and age, he said really that takes about 15 to 30 years, but at the point in 1984, he said they were way above, way ahead of schedule. So when I saw this video, it really kind of punched me in the gut. I'm like, he said this so many years ago, and it's exactly accurate as to what is going on in society today.
What,
it has to do with culture.
Well, it is, and
culture.
And it the difference here is instead of the government doing it all directly, they have entities doing it for them. They have social media doing canceling. They have the universities pushing, you know, the ideology that they want. And let's not forget, those people that grew up in the 60s are now running our country. They're all the politicians.
Absolutely.
And yeah, and you know, we should probably do a whole nother show on this, because this is it. I need to watch that video, I think. And I think we'll definitely plan on maybe doing another show related to that. I'd love to get into it deeper, but we're going to have to take a break. But when we come back, we're gonna kind of finish up the Gina Carano thing and show what's happening at Disney that makes this such a stupid move on their part. And a little good news that I read this morning, at least related to her. So let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with more.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Ron DeRockstra. The defense rested. Now senators are submitting written questions to the prosecution and defense in the impeachment trial of former President Trump. During arguments earlier this afternoon, Mr. Trump's defense told senators the impeachment is unconstitutional and politically motivated. The White House says President Biden will seek to close the prison on the U.S. base at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, following a review process. Something former President Obama had pledged to do within a year of taking office back in January of 2009. White House spokesperson Jen Psaki gave no timeline, telling reporters the former review would be robust and would require the participation of officials who have not yet been appointed under the new administration. Only 40 prisoners remain at the facility. Wall Street closing, Dow up 28 points. The Nasdaq closed 70 points higher today. This is SRN News.
Keeping you informed, giving you the good news. You're listening to 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk, and my in-studio co-host, Liberty Miller, and on the phone with us, James Hutmacher. I have to change how I say that now, James, because you gave me that some history there. But
yeah, well, I had no idea. I mean, my DNA on the Ancestry.com is all German, so I just assumed, but hey.
Yeah, well, I need
where the facts lead.
I need to do the same thing. I think I'd be surprised what I found. But Liberty, during the break, she had some thoughts about what you were saying, so I wanted to give her a chance to respond to that before we go jump back onto the Disney thing. So go ahead, Libby.
Yeah, well, I wanted to quickly touch on what James had mentioned about the emotional aspect of all of these conversations that are happening in our world today that have always been happening. But that emotional aspect of it, I used to be heavily involved in animal rights. And when James was talking, it reminded me of my time in the animal rights movement and how each side is so set on being right. And they approach that with anger, hatred, violence. And no one is willing to sit down with the other side and have a diplomatic conversation. And that just breeds this world of hatred. And nothing gets accomplished. Nothing gets accomplished. And if you have an opinion that doesn't match the other side, you get canceled.
Yeah, and social media exacerbates that drastically. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That makes it so easy because you don't have to be actually there talking to somebody to...
Well, right.
To degrade them and denigrate them.
Right, because most people aren't brave enough to confront someone else face-to-face. But from behind a computer or behind their phone, it's so easy when there's that disconnect. There's not that human interaction.
I like your point, too, because the way that I look at it is that if two people are so consumed with talking, then nobody is listening.
Mm-hmm.
And when nobody's listening, someone is misunderstood. And when someone's misunderstood, then they're going to get frustrated. And when people get frustrated, they lash out.
Exactly.
You know, in various ways.
Exactly. And then nothing ends up changing.
Yeah, one of the rawest human emotions that I've experienced when interacting with other people is not being heard.
Mm-hmm.
It's the quickest way to light someone's fuse is to give them the impression that they're not being heard. They're not important to you. And that's what we've done. That's what social media has done. It's taken away that human interaction. You know, we were talking about some unrelated stuff earlier, Libby, and I had mentioned about someone that recently was in our news locally that is in some trouble because they did some bad things. That the last time I met with this person, they kind of gave me the creeps. They gave me the eebie-jeebies. And you don't have the ability to get that feeling about someone or a good feeling about someone when you're digitally going back and forth.
Right.
And so it creates false impressions that, I mean, we have enough trouble face to face with false impressions. When you're doing it digitally, it's almost impossible not to have those false impressions.
Mm-hmm.
So
plus when you know somebody, you give them some grace because you know their heart.
Exactly.
You know, and when you don't know it, then you automatically, a lot of times, are assuming the worst.
Yep. That's for sure. Well, like I said, I'm going to send me the link to that, James, because I definitely would love to bring you back and we can get more deeply into that because it's pretty prophetic for sure.
It's really scary. I'll tell you that when you sit there, and I had to stop and pause and write down his words because it was like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see. I mean, I definitely want to go and watch that now. So let's shift it back over to my girl, Gina. I tried to get her on the show, but you know, these...
How'd that work out for you?
These famous people are hard to get a hold of.
You got me instead.
Hey, I've gotten famous people to respond to me. I almost had an interview with someone that it fell through at the last minute because of a network that shut me down because I'm a little nobody in little tiny Rogue River, Oregon. But we were close. We were there, and maybe someday I'll bring her back. But anyhow, I tried. I wanted to get her input, apparently she probably thinks I'm a stalker. So so that didn't work out. So anyhow, let's jump back to Disney. And let me state at the beginning of this, I don't want any of these people fired. Well, except maybe one, and I'll get to that in a minute. But I actually want the opposite. I don't want Gina to be fired. That's where I'm at with this. So there's some people within Disney that have similar issues, but they haven't been canceled. They haven't been fired. Now, one of them was fired and then rehired. He's the one that I think they should have left fired, and I'll show you why when we get to that. But let's start with her co-star, Pedro Pascal. Posted a meme similar to what she had posted. Germany 1944, picture of a bunch of I'm assuming, Jews behind barbed wire. And then a picture of kids in cages, and of course he was trying to say this was, and that it says hashtag this is America. Well, first of all, we know about all the misrepresentations about the kids in cages, but these kids actually happened to be in Israel, and they weren't in a cage, they were just behind a fence. So never mind the disingenuousness, he was making a comparison to Nazi Germany, and he's still employed with Disney. Again, I don't want him fired. But I want equal. I would like them to treat people equally. So let's move on to the movie Mulan. Well, Mulan was filmed in Zhejiang province, which is right in the shadow of the concentration camps where they house the Uyghur Muslims and where they are abused and sterilized and sometimes murdered. And Disney has no problem benefiting from they even thank the Chinese government in the credits of the film. They thank Zhejiang province and the CCP for their help with the film while they're filming a movie with you know, maybe miles from a Uyghur concentration camp. So again, you know, wow, she tweeted something kind of offensive. You're making a movie in communist China in the shadow of a concentration camp. Give me a break. So I'll skip Jack Morrissey. Well, he's really quick. We can do his. He posted something on, I believe, on Twitter. Hashtag MAGA kids. Go screaming hats first into the wood chipper. And he has a picture of blood coming out of a wood chipper. He still works for Disney. He's still employed as a producer for Disney. But the last one was the most disturbing. If that wasn't disturbing enough, James Gunn was fired. James Gunn has done some of the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, among others. They rehired him to do Guardians of the Galaxy 3. But this is what got him fired. These are some of the tweets that he put out on Twitter, and I hope I don't run out of time. New poll, 9/11 jokes, always in poor taste or sometimes funny. Additional questions, more or less offensive than Holocaust jokes. Okay, that's not so bad. Laughter is the best medicine. That's why I laugh at people with AIDS.
Whoa.
Or in case they kept in the stuff about the... You know what? We'll have to skip that one. Sorry. I want to go big game hunting, but know it's morally questionable, so I'm going to split the difference and go big game raping. And there's more of these. I'm not going to read any more. The two of those were so bad. I debated whether to read them on here. He should absolutely be fired, and he shouldn't have been brought back. But again, so, I mean... You can tell I'm furious about this, but I love the show, and now I can't watch it. I will not give money to Disney until they rectify this. What? Tell me, let's go back to you, James. What is your feelings about that? These people are all employed with Disney, and she's gone. I don't even see a similarity to the two, except for with Pedro. His was exactly what she did, but the rest of the other ones are horrific.
It really just goes back to the fact that, unfortunately, I guess I just have to put it in political terms, and I don't mean to offend anybody, but at the end of the day, it really does. I know that there are a lot of people that are guilty of this, but it really does feel like the more liberal or left-leaning people are more active in this type of behavior, and it's all about whether or not you're in their camp. If you're in their camp, you're sacred. I mean, let's face it, Hollywood protected rapists, right, for years, didn't say anything. So as long as you're in their camp and you're making them money, they're okay with it.
But yeah, just like the NBA with China.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, when LeBron James has an opinion on China, but he probably couldn't point to it on a map, I mean, there's an issue.
Yeah, for sure. So... Libby, let me give you the last word on this, and then I have a little bit of good news about Gina before we got about 30 seconds.
Well, I just can't believe those posts that you just read. I mean, it's shocking.
Yeah, he got to apologize and say they were jokes and that it was in poor taste. And so his apology was okay, but anyone else's apologies are no good. So,
I mean, jokes. You don't joke about... laughing at people with AIDS. That's not okay.
It's horrific. And we're going to run out of time. James, thanks for calling in. I really appreciate it. Your point of view is a huge addition to the show today. So thank you so much.
And thanks for having me. Sorry, Libby, I took your time.
No,
that's okay. And Gina Carano got hired by the Daily Wire, who is now doing feature films, so she gets to produce and star in her own movie. So good news for her. Libby, thank you for being my co-host
thank
today.
You.
Everybody be good to one another, because Rogue Talk is over.
You've been listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
Listen to Rogue Talk with Jeff Smith, Fridays at 3 p.m. right here on Rogue River's Hometown Voice.
94.3 The Bridge.
Or on demand at 943thebridge.com.